Focus.
Hello and welcome to today's Rural Focus podcast. Today's going along nicely. A positive start to WA's electric weed control trials. Yeah, there's a trial in the Perth metro area. And there's also one around regional WA. We're going to catch up with DPIRB scientist Miranda Slaven. Miranda's going to join us on the podcast very soon. Also, too, we'll catch up with Josh from the Condillan Group. And, well, this Friday sees the McIntosh & Son Mininew Midwest Expo just for one day this year. Trying something a little different. And we're going to catch up with the coordinator for the Young Farmers Challenge. Plenty of wonderful young farmers. Can they get a team together? Well, we'll find out and see how they can do this. Billy Marshall is going to join us very soon, but let's kick off today's podcast, shall we? We'll find out how the Mouchet cattle sale went from Nutrient. Hello, Craig Walker.
Morning, Troy. How are you, buddy?
Not too bad, mate. Bit of rain about, but I'm sure that didn't stop things at Mouchet yesterday.
No, there was a bit of rain last night. Wild weather that's sort of from the north right through, and it sort of dropped a bit of rain around, and it's still a bit wet down in the metro area. But yesterday, dominated by pastoral females and bulls, was the majority of the yarding, and it actually responded in a really positive manner. If we have a look at the locally bred weaner steers, they sold up to $5.52, while heifers sold from $3.20 to $4.42. Pastoral weaners and heifers, they sold a little bit stronger at values at $2.68 to $3.38, and yearlings steers, pastoral types, off from $4.20 to $4.68. Locally bred lines, and including pastoral steers that were carrying a fair bit of weight, they sold from $2.20 to $4.50, and these are weights around about 380 kilos. And yearling heifers sold from $3 to $4.80, while big heavy bullocks and cattle over top of 450 kilos, including pastoral types, they sold from $2.20 to $3.20. If we have a look right through the cow market, we're seeing our big heavy cows, they gained a little bit in value. They sold from $2.34 to $2.76. And medium weights, they were pretty consistently, they sold from $2.20 to some really good young cows. They topped out at $3.08, with most categories around about $2.40 a kilo. In the lighter and the feeder types, particularly those small frame cows, they sold as low as $1.30 and to top out at $2.20, and they're probably sitting at around about 345 kilos live weight, those cows. If we have a look at the big bull heavy market, again, that's still kicking along pretty strong for those ex-herd bulls, and bulls up around 1,000 kilos, they're topping out at $2.94. The 400-kilo horned bulls, particularly your pastoral types, are somewhere between $2.50 and $2.90, while our good lightweight bulls, depending on the quality and depending on the horn on those cattle, they sell from $2.16 to your locally bred cattle, bringing up as much as $4.52. So all in all, mate, the job sort of turned around a little bit, and it's slowly starting to find where its level is. This is always the time in the marketplace where we see peaks and troughs, and you know, 1 week someone isn't operating, or we're starting to get things back on track again. So these are the values I think that this market is going to sit somewhere around going forward. It will fluctuate a little bit up and down from there, but I think that's where the values will be for the balance of the year until, we sort of start to see a lot more live shipping activity coming out of the lower parts of Western Australia.
And there's a sheep sale there today, mate?
Yeah, mate. I think there's Mary Lou, Betty Bob, and all those. That's about all that's been sold today. There's not many being sold. There's about 2,500 head, not quite 2,500 head that have been nominated. No suckers, about 1,200 old season lambs in there, no weathers, very few heavy ewes. So, it's not going to be a big sale, and I don't think the reports are really truly going to reflect where the market is.
Okay.
When you do hear the Mouchet reports later on in the day or tomorrow, because just the volume of numbers through it's very hard to read and to actually to value. But we can all look at the buying orders that are floating around. Most of your ewes you can put under a blanket of between 90 to about 120. Your store weather lambs are going to be somewhere between 60 and about $90. Your better trade type lambs between 110 to 130. And inferior bred stock, well, they're very hard to sell, and they're going to fluctuate all over the place from about $20 to about $70. So just depending on numbers, shearing and type of animal. So that's again going to be your blanket sort of values of where we are.
Now, mate, before you go this morning, you've got a big day happening out at Three Springs on Thursday, the 18th of August.
Yeah, mate, we've got a an information day that's going to be held by the Nutrien staff. Steph Rose is our nutritionist based out of the Midwest, working through Mora and various places like that. And she's compiled, along with a few other speakers, to put together an information day. It's not going to be focused on FMD, but biosecurity will be discussed by the Ag Department, but it's not going to be the principal reason for the meeting, because, you know, what we believe that we need to have a look at in the industry is, you know, productivity, the EIDs, the electronic ear tags that are coming in next year. We're looking at productivity and measuring how we can use those tools to help weight gains and actually productivity as lambs as they've been born between birth, weaning and sale, and try and increase sort of productivity through there. So it's going to be quite an interesting sort of format. It starts at around 10 o'clock, I think, and should be finished a bit after lunch, about 3 o'clock. Some really good speakers. So if you're interested in coming along, have a look at the Nutrien website. It's on there, or on Rural Press, or just give your local Nutrien agent a call. So it's based at Hill Padua, 18 kilometres out of Three Springs on the western side.
Yeah, so it's an educational discussion and practical demonstration on the benefits of utilising the EIDs on farm and get ahead on the mandatory EIDs here in WA. And as Craig did mention, yeah, plenty of guest speakers: Louise Butcher, Emily Ward, Bronwyn Clark, and from Nutrien, Brody Lewis will be the guest speakers. And I'll see, if you need to RSVP, there's a C Walker.
Yeah, right, that's okay. It, mate. That's
did
it.
You write this, did you?
If you wish to give me a call and tell me you're coming, that'll be fine as well. So you either give myself or Steph Rose, or just contact your local Nutrien branch up either Three Springs or Geraldton, and have a chat to them and just let them know you're coming. But it'll be a really good day, particularly with these EIDs. Yeah. I think that there's some really good tools and techniques that we can use. I was at a property just recently where one of the ideas that they use is they've got EIDs in there. They identify sheep that are scouring at the moment out of a mob, that are excessive scouring compared to the rest of them. And so they're scanning that ewe or that wether, and they're actually tracing it back to see whether or not that has other issues. They'll body weight that sheep, and they'll see whether or not it's actually genetically has a flaw in it, because it's prone to scouring or can't handle this sort of diet, or it's just a poor doer. So they're the sort of things that you can do, because, you know, the old blue rattle on the top of the head sort of fades after a period of time. But this way, you've actually got a documented a fair bit of information. And not to mention in the studs, you can do going to genomics. You can trace it back to see what lamb has come from what ewe, and what ram has done what business and produced what sort of progeny. So, you know, you can really take your breeding to the next level. And I think it's an exciting time to go ahead if we look at it that way, rather than, you know, we've got to put a tag in their ear and send them off to market.
So, save the date, Thursday the 18th of August from 10 till 2 out there at Three Springs. Give Craig a call today if you want to know more on it. 044-7341-590. If he doesn't pick up, he's probably ordering a coffee somewhere, so he'll get back to you.
Mate, I tell you what, I look forward to having a chat to you at Ming and You, which
yes,
will be on
Friday, mate.
Week.
Friday.
Exciting to get there.
Yeah, looks like it's going to be a big day there. Hopefully the weather will play nice, mate.
Oh, hopefully we'll do, but, you know, like, everyone's enjoying the rain. The rain this time of year is money in the bank, basically. Yep. And look, it's been a long, long time since we've had mud on our boots at Ming and You, and let's be honest, mate, we do complain a little bit about the rain, but I tell you what, there's plenty of days we don't have it and plenty of days we do want it. So, bring it down, bring it on, and let's look forward to an exciting year.
Absolutely. Mate, enjoy Mouchet today, travel safe, and see you Friday at Mininu.
Look forward to it, bud. All the best. Take care.
Rural Focus on Triple M.
Have you heard of electro-weeding? No, it makes two of us anyway. We're going to find out more today, because there are some trials being done around WA, and I'm joined right now with Deep Herb scientist Ian Miranda Slaven. Miranda, good morning there to you.
Good morning, Trey. Thanks for having me.
What is electro-weeding?
So electric weed control, or electro-weeding, refers to managing weed populations through the application of a high-voltage current, which travels through the weed's foliage and into the root system and transforms into heat energy, which causes the cells to burst in the plant and then kills or suppresses its growth.
So how much electricity do we need to, say, kill these weeds?
So the amount of electricity used is kind of dependent on the machine that you're actually using. So currently DPIRD's trialling a 36 kilowatt machine.
Yeah.
And that's showing some really effective results in the weed control area.
Do you see the agricultural industry, or maybe aquaculture or horticultural industries, doing more of this in the future?
Yeah, so I do see a place for electroweeding in the Australian agricultural industry in the future.
Yeah.
The technology is, offers Australian farmers a non-chemical weed control form, and it's already being used successfully across the globe in grains, vineyards, orchards and horticulture, as well as by urban and industrial land managers. And in a lot of these areas, herbicide resistance has been a growing issue and consumers are becoming increasingly concerned about chemical use. So this technology offers an opportunity to address these kind of issues and assist with the sustainable development of the industry.
So you're doing some trials at the moment. Whereabouts are the trial sites?
So overall, DPIRD's Electric Weed Control Project is looking to determine the fit for this new technology in Australian systems.
Yeah.
So therefore, we're conducting a range of trials through different conditions and also in varying locations. So initially, we've commenced by looking at the efficacy of the machine on natural weed populations in conjunction with Wowga, and those trials are located in Bassendean and Northam. And then we're also going to be looking at the effect of speed of application and also soil moisture, and these are with further trials in Northam.
All right. And how are the results there, Miranda?
We've been seeing immediate results from after the electroweeding application, and this includes the weeds wilting and changing colour to be darker as their cells burst. Then 2 to 3 weeks later, we're seeing that the treated weeds are completely dead, being having turned brown and gone crunchy.
As you do when you sort of kill some weeds. But anyway, yeah. With a bit of electricity in a way. But how many electric machines are you using at the moment?
This project's been made possible through DPIRD's collaboration with AgXtend Europe, who have sourced our machine from the German company Zasso. And throughout the project, we'll be testing one machine, but we've got two different applicator units.
Righto.
So the first applicator is used for area applications, so say in your urban and industrial areas, and also for bare ground control.
Mm.
And the second is used for vineyards. However, there are a lot more that are internationally available in the market.
And how much will this, say, cost the farmers to use if they're going to use this, say, going forward, Miranda?
So this technology is not currently certified for use in Australia.
Okay.
So it hopefully will be in a few years, but that means I can't give an accurate estimate on the purchase cost.
Yep.
However, once the machine is purchased, it's mounted on a tractor and driven off the power takeoff shaft. So this means that the application cost will only be that of the diesel used to run the tractor as well as the labour cost.
Okay. Is it being used, say, in European countries?
Yeah. So it's been used extensively across Europe in a range of different things, and that's been driven by the herbicide bans there and also the restrictions on use, as well as a growing environmentally friendly movement just been looking into the technology.
It's not just going to be hopefully used by farmers, but maybe, you know, local governments may pick it up too to use in their local parks. Is that right?
Yeah, so that's the hope, that we can use it in a range of different Australian systems. So that's why I've been joining with Wowga in our preliminary trials and getting that off and seeing how the local governments can get involved as well.
Absolutely. Well, we look forward to seeing what does happen after all these trials and going forward. DPIRB scientist Miranda Slaven. Miranda, thanks for your time today.
That's all good. Thanks for having me.
The following interview on the Rural Focus podcast is a paid interview. A reminder, this may not be the right product for you and other goods and services may be available.
Well, as we've mentioned, all roads lead to Millineux this upcoming Friday. Of course, the Macintosh & Son Millineux Midwest Expo and the Young Farmers Challenge is something that I'm looking forward to seeing. Do have the coordinator, Billy Marshall, with me this morning. Billy, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Are you all ready for Friday?
Oh, we're getting there. It's full steam ahead, but we're shaping up to be a really good day.
Yeah, it certainly is. Now, you're the coordinator of the Young Farmers Challenge. Talk us through it.
Yeah, so it's something that we introduced at Expo last year, but the competition has actually been around for quite a few years across Australia.
Yep.
And so we've actually stemmed from the Agricultural Shows Australia format.
Okay.
So we run an official Young Farmers Challenge, and it's for 18 to 35-year-olds, mixed team of four, and pretty much fastest time wins, but it does have a strong focus on safety and teamwork. So your team will be dealt out penalties if you jeopardise the safety of your teammates in the event, and the winning team will go on to represent the Midwest region at the state finals at the Perth Royal Show later this year.
Oh, fantastic. So how many things do they have to do, say, during the day or be a part of it?
So it's six events.
Okay.
Our Young Farmers Challenge is kicking off at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. So it'll be some nice evening, pre-evening entertainment. That will hopefully provide a few good laughs. So it's six different events.
Yep.
And they pretty much just run on one after the other. As soon as you complete the event and the ref gives you the all clear that you've completed the task properly, you move on to the next event.
All right.
And, yeah, you're just timed throughout the event and fastest time wins.
And are you getting teams putting their applications in?
Yeah, so we've had a few pre-entries, but the best place you actually just enter on the day.
We'll have
a stand at Expo and pretty much run into a couple of your mates and get them together and get a team in, and you can have a crack at winning $1,000.
Not bad. Free to enter?
Free to enter, that's it. And you can take home some pretty good prizes and, of course, some prize money. So thank you to our generous sponsors of Expo. We're able to put up a pretty good purse. And, yeah, it's a great initiative, and it's a great event all around just to have a bit of a laugh and have fun and to really highlight what being a young farmer is all about.
Can you give us something that these young farmers will be doing a part of the challenge without giving too much away? Can you sort of let us know something that they'll be doing?
Oh, okay.
Go on.
So the events are based on your area and your production system. Obviously, the events are very well based to Minginew production, so there will be some cropping aspects involved. There will definitely be some first aid involved, so make sure you're up to scratch on your first aid. And pretty much just some overall teamwork games. There may be some fencing in there and some relays. So it's really just about uniting your team to work together to get a job done.
They're not
hard tasks. It's definitely not all physically related either. There is some theory parts involved.
Yep.
So there's a lot that goes into being a young farmer. And I think, the competition is really based to try to highlight all of those things. It might not, like I said, be a very big strenuous task, but there is some skill involved. But there'll definitely be some cropping aspects in there. And, as I mentioned, some first aid and team activities.
All right, so there you go. If you're around the area and you're going to be at the McIntosh & Son Minginew Midwest Expo this upcoming Friday, be a part of it. Young Farmers Challenge, as Billy did mention, free to enter. Mixed teams of four, going to be 18 to 35. So unfortunately, it rules me out. Otherwise, I would have had a go. get your mates together and take on the challenge. If you are wanting to know more, just check out the Minginew Expo website. Or they give you a phone call today there, Billy?
Yep, absolutely. If anyone's got any questions regarding the event at all, they're more than welcome to get in touch with myself.
Go ahead and do that, and we look forward to catching up with you on Friday there, Billy.
It sounds great. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, there she is, the Young Farmers Challenge coordinator, Billy Mitchell, all a part of this Friday's McIntosh & Son Minginew Midwest Expo. So if you're out there, you want to be a part of the challenge, hey, why wouldn't you be? Bit of fun. Get your four mates together, 18 to 35 years of age, free to enter. You don't have to do it today. Just rock into the expo on Friday. Get in contact with Billy and she'll put you in. Sounds like a bit of fun to be had there on Friday. Do thank Billy for her time this morning right here on Rural Focus.
The following interview on the Rural Focus podcast is a paid interview. A reminder, this may not be the right product for you and other goods and services may be available.
Time right now to catch up with Josh from the Condinan Group. Hello, mate.
Good day, Troy. How are you?
Oh, not bad, mate. Not bad. Thought I'd give you a buzz today, mate, and find out and see what's coming up in future editions of the Farming Ahead magazine.
Yeah, look, there's been some pretty good stuff, actually. Ben White has been heading up quite a large research report on silos. So he's been basically all around the country. So that's coming up this month. So, I know there are a lot of people investing in silos, grain storage at the moment. So there's a massive research report on silos and silo testing that he's done for August. So I expect that'll be hitting the mailbox pretty soon.
All right. And over the next few months, mate, what else is coming up?
Yeah, look, currently at the moment, and this will appear in September's research report, we're looking at chemical batching and handling systems. So we did this a few years ago, went out, looked at chem handlers, and it's time to kind of revisit it because, a lot of people sort of that you can really improve the field efficiency, getting more spraying hours out of your SP rather than, road hours by using some kind of chemical batching system. So we're going to sort of touch on the commercial units that are out there, but we've also been out looking at a lot of farmer-made setups, and they kind of range from, really basic, simple machines through to some things that are really quite intricate and a lot of thought has gone into. So there's some really interesting stuff coming out there. And then look at October, coinciding with field days, like we'll get around and have a bit of a look. October's mag, we'll have, I suppose, an overview of sectional control. So that includes mainly for seeding and spraying, but also sectional control spreading. Still a bit of a dark art there, how that all works. But look, yeah, we, I suppose as a system, we want to examine the benefits of sectional control. So, and look, I think following that, November will be a big testing report on self-propelled sprayers. There's quite a few new models now. And December, we might even get to full drive ute. So it's been been a little while since we've done some ute testing. But of course, you know, there is the new Ranger. It's hitting the market now. I think Ben White took it for a drive the other day.
Oh, did he?
I think it's still in one piece. I think he's done a little bit of a preview on that in this month's magazine. That's about to come out.
So that's what you can expect over the next few months with the Farming Ahead magazine. And I suppose it's all systems go for you boys too, ahead of the Darren Field Day, mate.
Yeah, look, we'll be there at Darren. We usually do a bit of judging on the first day of Darren to sort of help out. And we'll let the Condon Shed will be there. And yeah, Mark Saunders will be across as well, our editor. So anyone needs to come and chew the fat with Mark, he'll be around as well. And we'll probably be throwing a bit of SP testing into the mix either side of Darren. So yeah, it should be pretty interesting.
Yes, just don't talk Collingwood Football Club with Mark, otherwise you'll probably chew your ear off.
Be there, right?
Yeah, exactly. And yeah,
he is. He's walking very tall at the moment.
Oh, he is. Yes.
It's pretty hard as an Eagle supporter to even talk to the man at the moment.
Oh well, good luck to them. Yes, I suppose someone's going to have a bit of fun. I suppose at this time of year, mate, won't be us, unfortunately. But
That's right.
Good luck to Marky and his Collingwood football team. Anything else from you this morning, mate?
Oh look, I'll touch on the workshop, I suppose. I think well, it's this month's magazine, so that will be in mailboxes this month.
Okay.
Got a little bit of a compilation article on accessories for your drill press. Now, it sounds a little bit out there, but there are a few really handy devices that anyone who's got a decent pedestal drill or drill press in their workshop could use.
Yep.
So, and then the next month after that, there's a little article on stick welders. We'll review a new micro stick welder from CIG, and we'll look at some of the reasons why you should still use a stick welder and some of the new products on the market out there. So a little bit of a diversion, but yeah, we've been doing a lot of welding stuff lately. So thought about time to look at the old Humble stick welder once again.
All right, there you go. You can read that and more over the next few months with the boys from the Condon Group with the Farming Ahead magazine. Mate, as always, nice to chat. And I suppose the next time we'll chat, it will be at Darren, I suppose, mate.
Yeah, we might even pop in and do it face-to-face. Who knows?
Yes. So you should. Yes, it'd be nice to catch up with the boys from the Condon Group when we do make our way to Darren, a part of the GWN7 Darren Machinery Field Days, the 24th and 25th of this month. Not too far away. Well, that's it for today's edition of the Rural Focus Podcast here on the Listener app. Hey, thank you very much for your company. We'll be back with another Rural Focus Podcast for you again very soon.